Blog Talk Radio.
God soldiers,
it's time to take our place as the chosen. We must bring the heat from the streets and unthaw the minds of the masses that's frozen. There's no need to carry a Mac 10 when you understand the power of the pen. This is our greatest hour. We can't be afraid to speak truth to power. It all comes down to this moment. Do you want it or do you hold it? Do you want time is like the mind. You can't afford to waste it. Success is on our fingertips. Can you taste it? We must face it. Either we arise and shine, or we complain and die. A nation of our own. God didn't promise space, man. He promised land.
And that's my word. The high priestess of information.
Thank you for joining another episode of Conscious Conversations. I am your host, Zeta J, and today is April the 8th. I want to thank all my callers for calling in. Could you please introduce yourself to the line? I can't hear you.
Brother Roosevelt Muhammad from New Orleans.
Please introduce yourself.
Sister Hadira from Gulfport, Mississippi.
And one more caller.
Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes, I can.
This is Shawanda Muhammad. Peace.
Oh, salam alaikum, my beautiful sister. Thank you for calling me and supporting.
Well,
you hear that, Brother Ro?
Yes, he just made me so excited.
I want to thank you all. You've been listening, sister. I appreciate your support. You know I love you.
Yes, I love you too. Thank y'all for doing this. Thank y'all for doing this. Wonderful.
Thank you, love. Thank you so much. Today's topic is the state of black women. I'm thankful that I have three callers, and, you know, the cipher is beautiful because all of y'all have very beautiful minds and perspectives. So I just want to get right into it and talking about the state of black women. Not only the state of our health mentally and physically, but where we are in terms of society. Now, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us that a nation can rise no higher than its woman. And, you know, if you look at the great civilizations, all you have to do is look at the women, whether it's Sparta, Egypt, Rome, you know, whatever country it is, you look at the women to stage the height of that nation. Well, if we're looking at America, particularly black America, and we look at our state today, personally, I think it's in a decrepit state, but I know that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad has also said that there is no such thing as a no good woman unless she was made no good by no good man. So let's get into the discussion in terms of the state of black women. Where do you all see the state of black women today? Anyone?
We cut women.
I'm having a hard time hearing y'all.
Sister, yes, ma'am. I have it turned up as loud as I can, sister.
Okay, can y'all hear me?
Yes,
yeah.
Ma'am. We can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, I think right now, in the atmosphere that we're in, the state of the black woman is declining at a drastic rate.
You got to speak into the phone. I can barely hear you fading.
Okay. I'm going to try.
There you go.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah.
A little.
Is this okay, Brother Roosevelt?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I think that the state of the black woman has declined in declination due to the society feeding us the propaganda that we need to get away from the morals that was taught to us by our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers. And the war and violence that were given to us even by our own parents. During our mothers and fathers generation, they were all striving to get away from that which they were taught because it seemed so much of a line of disciplinary ways. And with that being one of the issues, it became a problem with the black women in the black community because now we're just too loose. We're too loose with everything. There's no morals, there's no values. The girls are not being taught how to be young women. You got the grandmother, the great-grandmother, the great-grandmother. Everybody's hanging out, wearing the same hairstyles, clubbing together, drinking together, smoking weed together, laying up with the same groups of men together. And we have just lost our moral fabric of being what we were established as in many, many years ago as being the strong woman, the leader of strong women.
So what do you think has contributed to the moral decline of the black woman?
I think men have a lot to do with it.
I think that the moral decline happened through the reintroduction of a new mental culture of the Caucasian. It's not that we are in this condition because of our own doing. We are in this condition because of the condition we were rendered through slavery, not to find a scapegoat or excuse. But someone did injure us. And there have not yet been any manuals to go out into the general public and give manhood training to the general public. So you're looking at a black people who look at the female from only sexual. Outside of that, what other education has he ever received that makes him perceive her any different?
But the black woman is not doing much to change that perception either, brother.
But I know she is actually the agent of the condition because she carries the practices into manifestation. Men can only do what they are allowed to do unless it is predatory and disrespectful. But the thing is, I say those of us who are under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad all adhere to his teachings. We become responsible for the condition of black women in black America.
Yeah.
We are the only informed ones. We are the only ones that have a thorough knowledge. We're the only ones can bring some type of resolution or solution to the situation. But because of how hard the task is, we run. We talking about the social condition of black women. I would throw the question in, what is wrong with the social condition of black Muslim women, and why can't we come together and teach classes based on Honorable Elijah Muhammad's program without chaos and confusion? Then that right there would give us an answer to why we can't get the dead, dumb, deaf, and blind to do anything. What hinders women from socializing with each other, building a productive community? Because y'all always have been the lead in that area. Men went out and provided, men went out and conquered, women went out and hunted. But when you look at the structure of the home, it was always women. So now we got a large population of single women. How do we bring the community to a more structural decency? Because women gonna lead it anyway.
Well, let me say this, brother, because it doesn't. No matter what organization that you're in, or church or mosque, whenever you get a group of women together, even in church and mosque settings, women are seen to me to be very jealous and envious, very petty, and you find a very, 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 very small few who actually grasp not only the mission, but those who are not even involved in the Nation of Islam, just getting the women together, period. You know, sometimes you can't get past the little petty jealousy or backbiting or the little things that keep us from women as uniting. And if you look at most of these quote-unquote reality TV shows, you'll see the division among women, and not just black women. I mean rich women, doctors.
But the TV shows are some of the vices and the viruses that interfere with proper relationships. when you're using that type of information
people,
to judge.
People want that, though. You know, you can't.
No, they
it's
don't.
Like the drug dealer.
Yeah,
you can't blame the drug dealer for supplying what the people want.
No, the drug dealer.
If he has a demand.
All right, listen to this. The drug dealer and the TV addict are victims because they are not the source of manufacturing of the material in which they are consuming. See, if me and you went and manufactured the heroin on the cocaine and the drugs that is being used, then I would say we're responsible. If we manufacture the TV shows and the advertisement and the propaganda that's on TV, if we did that, then I would say we are held responsible. But because all of the things we consume as part of our cultural view, from what we could call women's rights or women's condition or any of those things, we got to look at what is we pulling from? Where is our body of knowledge coming from? So if we look at the church, go ahead, sis.
Can I hear you.
Sister Shawanda said something.
Yes, I'd like to interject in that. So, Sister Jada, you said something very key when you talked about no matter where you go, church, mosque, whatever organization, you find women that have this, you know, this warped sense of self, and they reflect that on one another, and they bring each other down. I think it's because we as women have trauma issues that go back way, way back. And it's not just our own. These are trauma issues that have been passed down generation after generation after generation that have not healed yet. We haven't allowed them to heal. We haven't worked on them. And these trauma issues cause us to self-hate. Not just self-hate as a people or self-hate as a black woman, but just self-hate as a human being, as a woman. And until we go within ourselves and stop looking outside of ourselves for somebody to come and save us. Until we go inside ourselves, we put aside the distractions, and we go deep, deep into ourselves and try and be realistic about our issues, our stuff, our crap, and start working on that, then we're not going to be able to exchange with any other woman, any other man, our children. We're not going to be good to society until we fix ourselves. And nobody can do that but us. Even when you have the teachings, even when you have the knowledge, you know, I've seen many, many people through the years, even with the knowledge, still avoiding the issues that they have within themselves. They have nothing to do with the white man, nothing to do with anybody outside of themselves and their own life circumstances. And some of the stuff.
Can you say this? I'm sorry. Can you safely say I hear you and Brother Roosevelt, but can we take this all the way back, and I mean like to maybe our grandmothers' time when they were women having 14 and 15 children with one man? It was very common that they still had the men had the attitude where, if I took care of the home and the children, I didn't have to answer for what I was doing, meaning that as long as I was financially taking care of you and these kids, I don't have to show you love. I don't have to show you affection. I don't have to tell you you're beautiful. I don't have to be involved with rearing the children. I don't have to do anything besides take care of financially, take care of the wife, and she may do with what she has. But I would have the woman on the side, I would have the side chick uptown, and that ricochet and boomerang back into our generation. When you go back and you look at my grandmother's generation, then my grandmother's grandmother's generation, they all have the same complaint. And that complaint is, I have no issue with the black man to financially take care of his children or take care of the house. My biggest complaint with a black man is that he doesn't know how to love. He does not know how to be a husband. He does not know how to be a father. And these men bred other men who bred other men who bred other men. And now we have a generation of men who are lovers of themselves. I'll give you an example. The young group that are out here right now today in the 21st century, those young men will go and pick up their significant others. And the two men would ride in the front seat, and they would have those two young ladies to sit in the back seat. And those young women are accepting that because it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that she's not conditioned mentally to understand that this is wrong. She's mentally conditioned by watching her mother being treated that way, and then her mother's mother was conditioned the same way. We have to.
You don't think the women have any responsibility in that, sister, though? I mean, I hear what you're saying about the men.
I don't, and
they're hurt. But, you know, at that time, women didn't really work. I'm not saying that they didn't go to the white woman and wash her clothes and clean her house.
Right.
But I think the needs of our parents at that time were a little different than the needs now, because if a woman had 14, 9 children, 9, 7 children, you know, she was a little more dependent on that man, whereas today you have women who are so independent that the vast majority feel like they don't need a man. So my question to you is, I understand the historical point that you're saying, but what responsibility does the black woman have for her condition, whether it's her mental, like the sister was saying, her baggage that she carries, whether it be generational curses or things that happened in her childhood and she brings into her relationships or whatever.
Okay.
What responsibility does the black woman have for her condition and the condition of the children that she's raising?
The accountability that the women in our society have now, they have taken lead roles. The roles have flip-flopped. And because she has to be the breadwinner, because she has to be the mother, the father, the provider, she has to be everything, this society has conditioned our women to feel like, since I have to be accountable for everything, why do I need a man in my house? I can do bad by myself. That attitude didn't come just because a woman was conditioned to that on her own. That came from watching your mother and accept the things that your father did, and you know what? I'm going to stick around because it's a bad thing for me as a Christian woman, or it's a bad thing for me as a Muslim woman to walk off and leave my husband, and it's okay for him to go do whatever he wants to do because he is not going to ever be seen as a whore. He's not ever going to be seen as a bad person. He's just going to be seen where he got kids up the street with Sue. He got the kids up the street with Alice. He got the kids up the street with what's her name? He's never going to inherit a bad name for himself. They made a song about that. Papa was Rolling Stone. And
Let me ask this question about the black women and being bitter, because a lot of what you're saying is still that a lot of her pain is coming from or caused from the men in her life or whatever. So, you know, my question is, I lost my train of thought. But back to what you were saying. Yes, go ahead.
Sister,
a lot of those issues that we and our mothers and grandparents have experienced, those particular patterns of behaviors can only be broken when individual people make choices on how they live their life.
We
can't generalize the general population, you know, because right now there's multiple manners that we're going to have solutions for different events within this world we're in. Now, there are a gross, overgross amount of irresponsible men. We can't take that away at all. And most of these men come from a cycle where they will use their studs. See, we still keep on going. See, if you want to see how a person walk, watch their habit and how they walk. You want to see how people think, watch their habit of how they think. You want to see how people... Everything that we're doing as a people come from a system. So we were always permitted to have sex without responsibility with women during slavery. Long children were produced, our slave master was okay with that. That cycle has never been broken. even to this day, if I have sex with you and I can't take care of the baby, you can go to the slave master for food stamps, Section 8, some type of assistance. So it's going to be a long journey trying to educate men who are too bitter with women because of the different evils they do to one another. So it's on both sides. You got men bitter because of bad relationship. You got women bitter, and then we pass that bitter relationship down to the children through our conversation instead of breaking the cycle. The cycle can be broken.
Well, let me ask you this. You said the cycle can be broken. I understand that it can be broken. It can. You're right. It can be broken. But my question to you is, how do you break a vicious cycle that's so vicious that no matter what the situation is, no matter how you try and bring our people out of that condition, that the mentality is conducive to behaving that way because it just feels better? Meaning that you have so many women, the African-American women or brown women, right now today, who have been in 30-year marriages, who have been in 20-year marriages, who have been in 10-year marriages, let alone 3 to 5-year marriages. And they thought they had a provider. They thought they had the knight in shiny armor. And then when you find out this guy is nothing that you thought he was, you're taking a bunch of good women and you're making them into bad women. Because no woman starts out bad.
Look,
no one starts out bad. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand.
No man starts out bad either. He picks up
that's
the habit.
That's not true. That is not true because the one thing you have to understand.
You're telling me every child
no,
comes
brother,
out of the
brother,
womb,
I
every male
agree
boy
with you on that
comes out of the womb
let
of
me
a
tell
woman
you something.
Is destined for
you
to be bad.
You as a man right now today, can go and be in a relationship or a marriage for one complete year. If that marriage or that relationship is not working out for that 1 year, you have been around her friends long enough to know which one that will be weak-minded enough for you to lay up with. Only thing you have to do
but
is
listen,
pick up a bag. Listen
that,
to
that,
this.
That's not
you
a man.
Pick
that's
up
a urge.
Bag.
Queen,
no,
queen.
That's not an urge.
Listen.
That's not an
yes,
urge.
If a man is only dealing with a woman, listen, then
that's
that woman
not an
is in look. Well, what's your reason for dealing with a man? Is it just for sexual gratification, or is it because he's providing mental guidance and financial guidance to the situation? Now, the thing is, if we're dealing with, right now, every woman, after dealing with a man over 60 days, close and up hand counter, she know what the hell she's dealing with. Same with a man. We got to stop being like we retarded
not
or
true.
Something. Yep.
Not true,
what if you think you're dealing with a certain type of person and they turn out to not be what you thought they were, which is the case with most men.
That's the same case for most women.
It could be that way with women, too.
Listen, you are actually digging into what you call personal preferences. See, the thing is, you don't know his preference or his desires on a consistent basis and within them 50 days. You see it. You see the lies. It's impossible to be an expert liar because lying is not the nature of man. So when you witness the lie, when you witness the inconsistency, when you witness, babe, let me borrow $150 to pay a bill and he never pay you back, when you witness all these particular flaws and defects, when in 6 months to a year, you're going to know what you're dealing with if this man going to be one you have to hold him down on one leg financially or is he a provider. Some of them have decent jobs in the beginning and lose their job.
Well, let me bring it back to topic. Let me bring it back to the state of black women, which that bitterness is a contributing factor. But like the sister said earlier, that when we can go into ourselves and look at ourselves and as Ayanna Van Zandt says, do the work, then start unpacking that luggage, then it really doesn't matter what a person tries to do to you outside because you have already cleared and taken care of what is necessary for yourself and you're not looking for anyone outside of yourself to give you love, to take care of you, to come save you. You know, you don't put yourself in that position. So when we talk about
But listen, if both parties, listen, most of us are trapped in relationship where we are all, our number one priority is paying these white folks' bills. So we don't never have the true time to nurture each other, find out each other's purpose, find out each other's real intimate mindsets or what makes you happy, why you like this. Our lives is basically chasing the white man's light bill, water bill, mortgage, and bill. So now, so now the man is judged based upon how much he provides from that standpoint, because that's what the society demands of him as a strength or weakness. But then
a lot demands that too, brother. He's a maintainer.
But listen, that's when he's in his natural state. We are captured people inside of a country that can't provide jobs to the millions of their own. So we have to fight that racism plus try to provide inside what you call an endangered environment. I'm not making excuses for us, but I'm saying if you read from the lessons that will ease your mind of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he says that the white man won't be able to provide jobs for the millions of his own unemployed. So there's no way we as the people gonna ever. So the solution that we are looking for is trapped into the condition that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad addressed. So if you're not doing that for yourself, you deserve where you at because you've been forewarned.
But let me say this, brother. Let me say this because you have basically the story of Hagar. You know, you have black women in this wilderness called America taking care of these children by ourselves. And I don't think, you have to look at the stress that's upon the black woman.
That's not right for a woman to have to take care of 5 children by herself. And, that's an injustice. But guess what?
But that's the condition that we're in. We are raising children by ourselves.
That means she ran into 5 inconsistent individuals, or she stayed with an individual 5 years in a miserable state, having intimacy with a person that's irresponsible, that did not deserve any sex, anything from her. So she got 5 children and the same deadbeat dude. In some areas, he was sufficient. Now, but if
I disagree with that, bro. I disagree with that to a degree because let me tell you why I disagree with that. Because you have some women, such as myself, who loved whom I had my children's father, and our relationship didn't work out. Our marriage ended. I moved to New Orleans. He stayed in Mississippi. Okay, why do you want to take care of your children? I have 2 children from the same man. Why you wasn't involved? I mean, it takes more than money to raise children. You know, you have to look at their self-esteem. You have to look at their self-image, their mental happiness. I'm saying that, and a lot of men do that. They blame the women as if the women choosing the men that lead them stuck out with these babies. It is not my fault that I had to raise my child by myself.
All right, listen. Yes. Savages don't have control of when babies come. All right? What is a savage? A savage is an individual person who has lost the knowledge of themselves and live on a level of a beast, right? Okay. If we were to do a survey of all of the individual human beings right now, and we were to ask them, out of all of the children you have, are any of them planned? All right?
Are any of them what?
Planned children. We plan to have these children because we had the necessary resources financially, structured-wise, to take care of them. If we go and we look at it, the children were unwanted realities from the get-go. The man don't want you no damn more. He don't want the child no damn more. So he want out, okay? But at the same time, that child was not a planned reality. The same way, now the difference is in the love factor. The dude is so unlovable and undesirable of being with a person, he a bail. The female, she's like, I can't leave my child. I'm going to take it, and I am Hagar. Why do you think the story is in the book? To let you know something you're going to have to encounter.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's the state that black women are in. We're running to and fro, and we're here by ourselves, and really we have no one to depend on but Allah.
All right. There you go. You got the answer. If you depend on the only source of guardian there is, then that means you are sufficient. But if you keep thinking
of
man,
white women ain't out here living that. White women are not living that reality on the level that black women are. Asian women aren't living that reality on the level that black women are. Their men are present.
You're looking at it from multiple vantage points. Most of every nationality, there are women who choose to live a certain lifestyle. You can find a prostitution, Chinese, a prostitution, Japanese, a prostitution, white woman.
Yeah,
black
but I'm
woman,
saying there's
woman.
Not an epidemic.
Okay.
There's
Listen.
Not an epidemic. You don't see a whole bunch of Asian women raising their children by themselves, brother. You don't see a whole bunch of Spanish women raising their children by themselves.
People. They're not a captured people. Their normal tradition is not interfered with. See, our normal tradition has been interfered with. So we don't have a normal tradition. Our tradition is you got titties, you got butt, make them look good, girl, let's lay down. And you like, ooh,
okay,
you,
so-
damn, he got on some brand new Nike Jordans. He must got some money. His bus pass on expired to $8, so he got more than $2. And you go lay with him. And then you get a child from a man who living in a shelter. Because you know, so listen, we got to take responsibility on both sides of this. But we got to go to the implementation of solutions. Right now, what's the solution?
I think that the solution.
I understand what you're saying. And I think you're speaking, I really do believe that you're speaking from a male's point of view more than being biased towards the women. And you know I love you. I'm just going to say it like I see it and what I hear. The fact of the matter is, let's take religion out. Let's take religion completely out. Let's take morality out. And let's just do the right thing, okay? The issue that is going on right now is that black is not beautiful to our black men. Becky with the good hair is what men mostly desire. You don't.
They don't want a righteous
black
woman either. They don't want a righteous woman. They want whores.
They don't. Right. You don't want a woman who's gonna be faithful to you. You don't want a woman who's cooking and cleaning and ironing your clothes.
That's
you don't want a woman
truth,
who's at the house.
Damn,
you know what? No. I'm not speaking
watch
about
your mouth.
You.
I'm
speaking about
I'm
the lay man that we're dealing with in
Queen,
this society.
Listen. You can't tell
you
me
have
that.
To,
I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm going to be 100 with you. That's nonsense. If I was to take and use my present life condition and circumstances and judge women based upon the three wives I had, I wouldn't want none of y'all. But at the same time, I'm going to be righteous and fair, all right, that most women don't want decent men because they don't want to be told
that's
nothing.
Not true. That's,
you don't want to be
true,
told nothing.
Let me tell you something. That's
listen,
not true because listen. A woman, let me tell you something that I know for myself about a good black woman, okay? And a good black woman will follow a broke Negro all the way to the end of this earth. That man ain't got to have nothing. He ain't got to have a house, no living. He ain't got to have a house. He ain't got to have decent transportation.
Hey,
the only thing she desires from him
if you
is,
broke
no,
to
that
the
is
end
not
of the earth.
True.
She has
that
I can't hear both of y'all. I can't hear both of y'all. One person at a time,
no,
please.
I would not allow you to say that, Brother Roosevelt, because the truth of the matter is black women have loved men even when they have been broke. Black women have been there for black men when they ain't had a pot to piss in or a window to start out of. Black men walked away from us. Okay?
No, we're still together.
No. They walked away from us because our hair ain't straight.
Yes,
our eyes ain't great. Or things that, you know, supernatural things. That they walked away from us. Black women never turned their back on black men until recently. And you know why they did that? Because
you
cannot continue to do a good black woman wrong and don't expect for her to learn your dirt. You teach a black woman how to be a hoe because she's watching you. You teach a black woman.
Well, let me say this, sister. Let me say this in defense of what Brother Roosevelt was saying. I do believe that the vast majority of women don't want to submit to a man. Because if you mention submission or quote-unquote control, the vast majority of black women, they're not trying to hear that. They're not submitting to nobody. So I'm not saying they don't want a decent man, but the vast majority of black women are not trying to submit. And it's very difficult to... Yeah.
None of that.
Sisters, listen, our conversation is marvelous. We can have our personal opinions. That's what I think we're having right now because we don't have any data outside of viewing it from our own personal eyes, what's going on in our community. And right now, this is the most beautiful opportunity because we're having a discussion about it. But I'm still going back to what is the solution? Where is the practical practice to solve the problem? See, right now, we got to have a community area where when people who have been through bad relationships, where can they go get counseling from? Where can they go to a sister who's not going to take the woman's side or the man's side and adjust the circumstances based on truth and righteousness? See, right now, we could talk about it. You know, there's so many different areas we can come from. But one of the things I think that we can do is personally take responsibility, you know, for our own state of happiness, our own state of joy. Now, the thing
right,
is...
Right, I agree with that.
The thing is, with a lot of our sisters, all right, let's not say, well, there is no good men or there ain't no good women. I'm not saying, mm-hmm. I wouldn't dare say that. That's unfair to the women who putting forward the effort. That's unfair for the men who putting forward the effort. So let's not become advertisers of the negative stereotype. I'm a good doggone man, straightforward, like a grown man. I'm telling you I'm good. I know I'm arrogant as hell. I know damn well I work a lot. I ain't in the street hoeing. Why I can't keep a fairly decent woman that love me? See,
vice versa, brother.
Years,
I mean, vice versa. I feel like I'm an excellent woman, but it doesn't matter how good you are when the people that you're attracting to yourself don't see you the same.
No, see, listen, we ain't been given the science for mating. We running around picking our picks from our emotions. We running around blindfolded on looking at behind and titties or how good she can read a hot D or how good she can read this or how good her beliefs are, never practiced them. Or the same with the man, you know. But when it comes to you personally, being honest, personally being nice, personally being kind to every individual you encounter, and then when you get on to your mate, make that part you did super two or three times more.
I understand what you're saying. And you know what, brother?
Community.
I understand everything you're saying. I don't.
Well, like I'm saying, brother, my man, welcome to the conversation.
It's a good one.
I understand everything you're saying, and I agree with everything that you're saying. Please don't think that I don't understand what you're saying. I've met you, and I think you're a very beautiful, kind spirit. And I know that you don't fit the category of what we're talking about. But what I want you to understand is that I have sisters. I have sisters, and they have come to me. You know what the one thing that black women want black men to do, and this will solve everything? We just want you to say you're sorry and actually mean, okay? Actions speak louder than words. If you're sorry about skipping out and leaving the kids on me, and I have to take care of the kids by myself and on my own, then don't say sorry. Actually show it. Be there when
they need
you.
Okay, but let me say this because
for activity.
Let me say this because the state of where we are is already there because we haven't even gotten to the state of black women's health. We're just dealing with
emotional
issues and relationship issues. There's so many other aspects to the state of black women, the state of our money. Black women are rich. We have all the money. We just not spend it correctly. The state of our health, which is in a wretched condition. The vast majority of black women are overweight. You know, the vast majority of black women have high blood pressure. There are so many issues when we talk about the state of black women. And I just want to bring it back to the topic and try to keep us on topic because we kind of go on off in different areas. But, you know, again, we're almost an hour into the show, 4 minutes into the show. Let's start talking about some of the solutions since we do know some of the problems. You know, that being she's alone, raising children by herself, she's overworked, she's overweight. What are the solutions? And Brother Mabi, you have wanted to get in. Go ahead and make your statement, sir.
Yes, ma'am. I think the brother hit real good on when he said we're speaking from a bias thing. And also, there was one thing that you said, I didn't really, hold on. It was one thing, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
It was one thing I didn't agree with when you said that the Asian women, Hispanic women, the only difference is we get demonized a lot more in the media. It's not that we are worse. Actually, black women, you just said it, black women are the strongest women on earth, facts. This black man is the strongest man on earth, facts. We're not the most economically intelligent people, but of course a black woman's going to seem like she doesn't want certain things because we're both broken. And we don't want to sit there and say we're both broken, but literally, I'm not going to sit there and say there's no good black woman because I'm married to a good black woman. I have a sister that's a good black woman that's married. My mother's a good black woman. I know Sister Jada. I know Sister Latrice. But at the same time, I understand all aspects because I had to get more in tune with a lot of stuff and understanding women when I started understanding my daughter. So it's like, I understand where both sides coming from, but I think they're coming from biased opinions. And I also think the media plays a big part in thinking that black men don't want white women, because that's a goddamn lie. I'm at work every day, and I preach. When white women approach me, and it's strange because more white women approach me, and I have to tell them real quick, first off, ma'am, I'm married. Second off, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, the black woman is God to me. I worship black women. The black woman is God to me, and I fight for that every day. It's just the whole point of putting out in their media. We see so much nonsense on these TV shows or everything else, and it's propaganda. We're not actually seeing this. We're hearing it.
That propaganda is shaping the mind and the behavior of this present generation.
Exactly. And that's when you said what's the problem? The way you fight the problem is by finding the source of the problem. It's not the black man's the problem. It's not the black woman's the problem. It's literally we're being everything they're telling us we are. We're acting out on what they're telling us, and we've always done that. The same way you're saying, Sister Latrice said the other day, that she said she's not black. Okay, cool. Why did you say that? You said that because that's a label that they put on us. So when they say that we're deadbeat dads, when they say that all our moms are hood rats and everything else, that's a label that they're putting on the media. That is the real problem.
Yeah, but it ain't no label that black women, it's not a label that black women out here living morally decadent than they were 15, 20, 25 years ago. That's
exactly.
That's
what and who pushed? And who pushed that? I'm sorry.
Can I intercede?
No, no, yeah. Go ahead, bro.
Sister Jada.
Yes, sir.
The condition, morally, sexually, of all people in general population has went down since the 1900s. If you go back, they used to didn't allow people to have their shirts off. They were moral, but we have to go back to prophecy as far as the condition of the people and what we are up against. They said that this type of condition would come. Now, we can have a discussion of it or we can start building from it, meaning because right now sometimes we using the words like black people, right? But now we're speaking on behalf. We have now become representatives of black people. I'm saying let's build a community that if you don't see something being addressed, you become the addresser. You become the leader. If you see sisters ain't got a sisterhood, you start today and build a sisterhood. See, like Sister Jada,
right,
doing this radio show? You see what I'm saying? You doing something today with your time to propagate proactively the things you think need to be discussed and brought about, right? So you took your steps, because we wouldn't be talking if you didn't take your steps, right? Now the next thing
right.
is the rest of us on the phone got to figure out which my step, which what I'm going to do today. Am I going to be a little bit more nicer to my wife or my husband? Am I going to be a lot more, you know, let's see what's going to be the next step for us collectively in our personal lives, because the outer world that you see, it's a reflection of the collective world of all of us operating in our own personal biases. So I'm saying let's start by keeping this type of conversation going, but just taking it outside of the 1 hour we got now into everyday practice. And when you see a sister cheating
okay.
on an old man, you check her. Look, come here, girl. Let me tell you something. Cheating on that man. When we see a brother cheating on his old lady, we checking. Instead of just accepting it, that type of person ain't supposed to be your friend. If that's the type of person
right.
you're promoting, you know, if you don't shame this condition and isolate those type of people, then they're going to continue to infect other people with it, and everybody's going to be dissatisfied.
Caller 478, welcome to the show. I'm sorry, brother, I'll just welcome the caller.
It went out.
So well, let me say this, because there are practical solutions. I know that Master Fuad Muhammad set up the MGT class, which I can speak for myself personally. I know that it's something that I have to do, because, again, you know, when you see something that needs to be done, sitting around waiting for somebody to make it happen when that person more than likely is you. There are classes that we have in the Nation of Islam called MGT class, and general Muslim Girls Training and General Civilization class. And in these classes, the women are taught how to cook, how to sew, how to take care of their children, how to take care of their husband, how to act at home and abroad. There are several units that we are taught as how to keep house. There are seven units that we are taught and that you have to master as a woman to be a complete woman. And I think that those classes have to be established in the community. I can't speak for manhood training and rites of passages for men because that's not my struggle. My particular struggle, number one, is to disseminate the information and establish dialogue. And number two, to go after as many women as I can to try to save them before the end, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that 75% of his work is with the woman. So if we get the mind of the woman straight, it's all over. And that can only happen if we have programs and we have classes and things that are set up to change the paradigm and change the direction in which we are moving, whether it be sisterhood meetings, women classes for cooking, teaching some of these younger chicks how to take care of a house, because they think that if you sex a man, that's all you need to do. Well, when you're tired of your sex and you don't know how to cook because you ain't take the time to learn how to make a biscuit, well, your sex not bringing him home no more. The love that he has for you is not bringing him home no more. But you learn how to cook a biscuit, that might would bring him home. You know, I'm just saying in terms of there are other things that we need to do and establish in the community moving forward, having parenting classes. So as we talk about moving forward, what are some of the solutions that you all think we could institute?
I think morality classes, value and morality classes need to be held. I do a class called Women of Judah, and I get the women and their daughters, and I get them in, and I teach them how to have etiquette when you go out to eat, how to not put your elbows on the table, how to eat properly, not to talk with food in your mouth, things of that nature that, you know, they had not been taught by their own parents, how to hold a conversation and not be explicit in that conversation, how to act in public, how to carry themselves as ladies. I think, again, like Brother Nabi Marquise and Brother Roosevelt touched on, and the sister, Sister Jada, touched on, is that a mindset has to be changed. A mindset has to be changed with our women. And I think that, you know, we can grab the young women and rear them in and teach them. But what good does it do for us to teach them how to be young women and how to carry themselves from here on out when they still go back home to a mother or a grandmother or an aunt who's taking care of them? And she's like, I don't want to hear all that old white folks because that's the way older groups think. You acting like a white girl because you want to dress a certain way or because you carry yourself a certain way or because you eat a certain way or because you don't go to certain places. They have to be morally standard for you. So what do we do to head off some of those older women who were standing in the way of making a solution for the younger ones? Because that's where the problem lies.
Well, I think that the older women,
Sister Jay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The sister just said it. You just said it. We got to stop trying to invent a new will or a new approach. Set the classes up. Start holding the classes just for women on certain days on the radio show. And then be consistently addressing the units of what women should do. If sisters don't know how to cook, then you arrange a Saturday where everybody come together and cook. Sisters don't know how to sew, then you arrange, well, we go buy some sewing machines and do it. I'm at the point where any type of things like that, I put my money behind. I go buy 10 sewing machines. Don't make me waste my money. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put my money behind what I believe in. So if sisters won't do that, now we got a building where we can hold women meetings. So I'm about that. See, the thing is, talking about it and being about it is two different realities. And that's the part where we're talking about with Master Farah Muhammad. Did he stay in Mecca and talk about it? Did he come here personally and demonstrate his love and compassion for us? See, we got to get out of the talk. A man traveled 9,000 miles to come get us. You see what I'm saying? So instead of talking about our sisterhood, we already know the sisterhood program is the best thing ever happened because it was set up by God himself.
Yes.
Not by a man with just a vision, a man with an idea, a man with a maybe.
Mm-hmm.
No, he came, set it up himself, and structured it. It's fail-proof.
That's true, brother.
I'll say this to my sisters who've been in the nation. and had the enemies who crept in the garden and sowed tare among the wheat. We are victims sometime in the nation of the enemies of the nation, and then we leave like the nation done something to us. The teachings of
but you still, even I'm if you leave the nation, you still have that obligation to teach those who do not know.
I know. That's what I'm about to say. That your teaching quarters is your house. Your teaching quarters is who you socialize with. You know, all your girls should know the unit. You know, so the thing is, I think that let's do that. Just so you take with the lessons or the units and bring it to the community. Y'all start the sisterhood. You know, then from that, let's make this thing happen. Because we can sit around and philosophize over it and share our opinions.
And you know what, brother? I started the sisterhood, the sisterhood classes with the Goddess by Nature, but I thought that I didn't have a clear-cut vision, so I didn't hold a second class. But you're absolutely right. All I have to do is institute the units that Master Fuad Muhammad set up, and also the auditing through Dianetics. I know a lot of people don't, you know, want to hear Dianetics because it comes from Scientology, but it is a remedy to help the mental illnesses and the things, the trauma that we have went through as children to rid us of that. So, you know, thank Allah for the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, who can go like a bee and take knowledge from this place and take knowledge from this place and take knowledge from this place and make a beautiful honey with which there's healing in it, you know. So you're absolutely right, brother. It definitely is about applying that which we already have.
It's so
the show is extended today. The show is extended today 30 minutes. Anybody wants to call in, the number is 646-668-2795. Please call in and let us hear your statements. Let us hear your comments or your questions. Yes, sir, Sister Kadira. Yes, ma'am.
Brother Nabi.
Yeah, yes, ma'am.
Were you trying to say something?
Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, Roosevelt says he said he had some money for it. If you're dissing about that class, you are no option for anything you got. And me and Kira throw whatever we can onto that too, because that sounds more reasonable than pointing fingers at each other. That would be great. If you started classes, especially for our youth, just like the same way we watch out for our boys, we start working out for the young girls, that would be a major, that would be something big. And I'll put some money up on that too if you need it.
I'll be willing to teach the sewing classes and the etiquette classes, and teaching the young women and the girls how to carry themselves. And I will bring my sewing machine and teach them how to make clothes and everything.
Whatever you need, just call Kira and tell Kira, and you all know we'll take care of what we got to take care of.
So there needs to be, on a national level, some type of curriculum that's passed out through the organizations, the schools, and the churches.
I mean,
let's get the
flyers. Yeah, as far as with y'all, I mean, I put my money with you. I can't say I put my money with anybody else. But when you two sisters are trying to do something, then I will put some money up. I don't believe putting no money in no church.
Well, I do know you how you are with the church thing. But what I'm saying is that in order for it to have a maximum effect, there needs to be a curriculum that is designed so that, you know, myself or anyone else can go to the churches and say, look, you know, here is a curriculum by which you can, you know, teach your girls. You know, here is a curriculum I can take to this grassroots organization. I don't have to do it in a mosque because, you know, I'm getting most of the information without pushing any religion. It's not about the religion. It's about the units that are set up, that are designed to turn our women into the type of women that are needed to sustain and have a strong nation.
Yes, ma'am.
And
I don't ever argue the fact. It's just the whole, and the other day when y'all said something, I didn't really get a chance to throw it in there, but the church has really perverted our men and our women. And that's the only reason I say I don't deal with the church, because the church, the same church that set those programs up, will be the same churches that say, you don't need no man but Jesus in your life. You don't need this but Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and like I said, I understand exactly what you're saying, but most of our real women ain't in those churches anyway. Most females already know you get more molestation. I mean, we have predators in church. It's always been privacy in church because
there are a vast majority of our people who still are in the church and who still are stuck in the Bible and the old ways of the Bible too. So you can't just leave those people out.
You're right. No, like I said, I'm not. I wasn't arguing the fact at all. You're absolutely right. It's just and one thing, like the brother said, you can't reinvent the wheel. You got to do for yourself. And Prophet Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the first thing he said, one of the first revelations, they said, save your family. If they're still in the church, it's 2017. If anybody's still in that church, if anybody's still listening to that, if they don't realize what that church was, if they don't understand that was our biggest downfall, then really I want to save us. You know what I'm saying? I'm just so against the church.
We don't know that reality, though, beloved. We don't have to have a show strictly on, Christianity. Is it sufficient in 2017 going forward? Because it really, I can't say it's sufficient for that particular person spiritually, individually, but as a whole for black people, no, I don't think so. But back on topic, as far as the black woman is concerned and her state of being, the state of health of our women, physically, women, black women are out of shape. We are overweight. We are really sick. And these are things that also need to be addressed in terms of the physical state of our women. Would anybody like to address the health issues that you think?
How do you get that out to the community, to the black women, for them to think of it as a positive thing? Because right now, the average black woman, because of these booty implants and because of these breast implants and a Brazilian booty lift and things of that nature, to them, to be thicker in the waist and ugly in the face, so to speak, is better to have a nice body than it is for your personality.
They're creating manufactured bodies, sister. A lot of white women, they in the gym. Now, they might get their collagen and their butt injections, but they still in the gym. Black women, we ain't in the gym. Number one, because our hair might get nappy and mess up or, just laziness. But black women are not hitting this physical change in the eating habits and in the gym working out on a large scale. That's not us. We're not doing that. We still cooking fat back. You know what I'm saying? Black women are the number one killers of our own, of our families, because we control the cabinet. We control the kitchen cabinet. We are the ones who are causing our families to be sick because we don't have a thorough knowledge of and the science of food, the proper time to eat food, what to cook. All this goes back to the units that need to be taught, but again, the state of black women and our health, we are causing our own sicknesses and diseases because of the food that we eat, because of lack of nutrition.
Right.
These are things that absolutely have to be addressed. Huh?
But can you safely say that financially it's a burden also? Because I remember the YMCA at one point used to be free. For the people to go in and actually work out.
It ain't no burden.
Because there's so many people now, even if you're on the food stamp program and things of that nature, they charge by the number of people in your family. And even those women, those young women.
Man, sister, you can get a DVD in your house and start working out. You can go walk around, you can walk around the block and start working out. You know what I'm saying? You can go on YouTube. There is no excuse. As far as eating is concerned and changing your eating habits, I do think that converting to a more healthy lifestyle is more expensive, but you're either going to pay it now or you're going to pay it later on prescription pills and doctor's bills.
Right. I get that.
It is something that absolutely needs to be addressed in our community right now, the state of our health and the fact that we're passing these habits down to our children, these eating habits.
Okay, so what would you consider to be a bad eating habit? Just throw some out there.
A bad eating habit is this, okay? You get up in the morning and you're eating breakfast. And breakfast is just that. You're breaking a fast. I don't know why you need to eat. You just slept a couple of hours. Remember, we eat way too much. No human needs to eat three times a day. It's just way too much. It's too much consumption. Why are you eating when you're not hungry? Then we're eating the types of foods that we're eating.
consumed with processed foods, buku sugar, an astronomical amount of starches, cold drinks. I mean, the meat consumption, we don't need to eat as much meat as we eat. Now, everybody's not going to be a vegetarian, but we do need to cut back on the red meat consumption. We do need to cut back on a large scale on the meat that we're consuming. Every woman who is in control of lives that she's feeding, she needs to be aware of what she's cooking, what she's buying, what time are you doing it. You know, sometimes give your family water. You don't always have to have Kool-Aid with the dinner. You know, there are things that we as women have to start taking control of in our own homes, and the way our family eats is on us. Because if your husband or your child has diabetes, I'm just going to put it out here. That's your fault. That's your fault. Because you're in control of what they eat. And you can fix that.
Okay.
Your child has type 2 diabetes, you can best believe he wasn't born. Most of them not born with type 2 diabetes. It's that diet. It's what the parent is, what the mother is eating. She's in control of what's coming in the house. She's the one buying and cooking the food. So you have to change that. The state of our health, we have to change how we do business. We have to change how we do things. We have to become more knowledgeable about the things that we're putting in our mouth. You know, salt intake. You, like I said, you don't have to have a lot of money to exercise. It don't cost no money to walk around the block. If your children are fat, that's your fault. If your child is fat, that's your fault. I'm sorry. It might be harsh, but it's the truth. If you got a fat child, that's your fault. You're responsible for your child being overweight, and you need to do something about it because you're causing that child's heart to beat faster or harder than what it needs to be. You're causing that child to have more weight on its knees than what needs to be. You are the problem because you are distressed. You are over the kitchen.
Okay.
The cabinet, the kitchen cabinet has to be the medicine cabinet.
So can you safely say that by getting away from the bad habits with the food that we are feeding our family, that the best thing to do is, because most of the food that we're buying, even people who try to be conscious about what they're feeding their family, a lot of our food is full of hormones and GMO.
And
so
there's a solution for that, too, sister.
Can we just, like, would it be beneficial in the community, especially some of these brown communities where the people have these empty parking lots? Would it be conducive to our people if we were to get together and get the agriculture grants and turn these parking lots into gardens? For the neighborhood,
Those are the solutions that I'm neighborhood gardens, urban gardens. I think that it's a travesty that hospitals don't have gardens. You know, 90% of our health is based upon nutrition, and it's something that as a wife and as a mother, that you absolutely have to learn. You got to learn how to feed your family. It ain't enough to just go in there and fry up some chicken. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true.
And with all these processed foods and poisons, the messenger has given us a perfect curative for that. You eat one meal a day. You really don't need to eat more than that. If you eat one meal a day, then the poisons that you have accumulated that day relieve and they move your body. But when you're eating all day, every day, all times of the day, that poison is just building up in your system, building up in your blood, building up in your cells. You see it come out in your skin. You see it in the texture of your hair and your nails, you know. So there is a remedy for that. But the vast majority of people don't want to eat one meal a day. You just don't.
Okay, so
not when you can eat all day.
Where can we get our hands on that particular guideline as to what we have to eat? Where will we get our hands on that particular?
Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has two books called How to Eat to Live, Book 1 and 2, How to Eat to Live. And if you look at the words, it's how to eat to live, not living to eat. And these two books, which if you look at most of these dieting things today, you know, they'll tell you to take a little shake and then you eat one sensible meal. You're still only eating one meal. I don't know what they put in that shake, but that eating one meal is the key, you know. Eat more vegetables. There are guidelines, and there are things out here now to where, like the brother was saying yesterday, if somebody is ignorant, that's your own fault. Nobody needs or has to be or should be ignorant today. It's just too much information at your fingertips.
All right, then. All right. I want you to sit down.
Brother Nadine, I think I heard somebody chiming in.
I think there's a brother talking in the background. Yes, I have a person. I have someone that wanted to ask a question. Go ahead. Raj, you would have to call in because you're not on the line. So I can't hear you if you don't call in. You could text me the question, but if you don't call in, then we can't hear you.
Your personal phone.
So let me ask you this, sister. Okay, with the books that that Elijah Muhammad gave to us, How to Eat to Live. Is that book available to just anybody, or do you have to be part of the nation?
Oh, yes, ma'am. You can go to any bookstore. You can order from any bookstore, or they have the community black bookstore here in New Orleans. But you know how you can order online from the Final Call. But I think that it is a book that every family, not just black, every family, if you are human, then you need to have a guideline on how to take care of this machine that we were given. This is coming from God himself. So, you know, even Moses, when Moses left Egypt, he gave his people a dietary law. They had been eating away of their slave masters. And when they left Egypt, he gave them the dietary law that the Jews still follow today. So it's not uncommon for God, even the Arabs, when Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he gave them a dietary law. One of the laws was no eating pig. You know, so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has given us, through Allah, a dietary guide that will not only help to heal us and give us life more abundantly, but guide us through the poisonous from these merchants of death who at every turn are killing you, whether it's through the corn syrup, whether it's through the processed foods, the dyes, the hormones, you know.
Are you a life coach or agriculture?
Okay. So, okay, could we safely say that with the dietary laws, because I know that with the dietary laws, that dietary law did not, with Moshe Moses, that it did not consist of flesh. It didn't consist of flesh, what we would call today like red meat and even pork or anything like that. That particular diet was consisting of the fruits and berries, the seeds and seed bearing fruit and things of that
nature.
They
did have some forms of meat, sister, because if you read in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the dietary laws that Moses were given, that he gave to his people, there were certain types of meat that they couldn't eat because they didn't digest the food properly, or I think their hooves were split or something like that. There's certain reasons, but like scavengers, like seafood, everybody loves seafood, but according to the dietary law of Moses, you can't eat scavengers. So today, it's amazing because in Christianity, Jesus says, I come not to change the law, but to fulfill it. But a lot of the Christians say, well, whatever God made is good and it's all right and this and that and that.
Well,
that's just not true. That's just not true. There is a law that is designed for the maximum of our health and our bodies. And when you follow the law of God, you can't go wrong. But, again, like I say, we live in America. You can have whatever you want to eat at your fingertips at any time. And it takes a certain amount of discipline. And I think that's something that, like, we have to start teaching women as women. And then we have to start teaching our children not only how to manage their money at early ages, but nutrition, how to eat right.
Okay, so just for clarification purposes for whoever's calling in, sister, can we safely say that it doesn't matter whether or not you are affiliated with being a Muslim, it's just a dietary law that is going to be beneficial for our bodies, that's pertaining to the Most High and not pertaining to what man has given us to eat and what will be sufficient for ourselves? So can we safely say that?
Repeat the question again, sister.
Can we safely say that the dietary laws that were given to us was given up to us specifically to help us, and that you don't have to be It doesn't have to be a Muslim thing or even a Christian thing. It's just a thing that is going to help us as far as our diet is concerned.
It's not a religious thing. It is what is best for your body. It is not normal to be working your stomach muscles constantly. You know, those muscles wear out. It is not normal to be consuming things that poison your cells and poison your blood. And there is a filtering system that our body does have. But again, the Caucasian the devil is not trying to teach us how to best take care of our bodies. You know, they make their money off you being sick. The money is never in the cure. The money is you being sick. So this society is not about healthiness. It's just not about that. So, you know, we have to take control of, as women, we have to take control of ourselves, take control of our homes, take control of our kitchens and our stomachs. These are the things that are necessary.
Okay, well, what advice would you absolutely give to some of the women, young women who are pregnant or having babies? Would that book be beneficial for them also with the one time a day you're eating, even though they're
I think when you're pregnant, you are on a different schedule. You're buying different because you're feeding for two. But when you're pregnant, you don't only have to look at what you put in your body physically. You have to watch what you look at, what you're thinking, because everything that you eat, think, and feel is going into that child. So for a pregnant woman, it's a little different.
You can't even know. Okay. Okay. Just to get back to what the subject was, I wanted to ask you. We came up. Some of the solutions, or what we thought would be good solutions in the community to help out and get us on track for our moral standards and values. My question to you, sister, is what is it that you think is the biggest thing that the brown women have stepped away from that sticks out more to you than anything? Because I know I got a few things on my mind that I think that stands out more to me that is not morally okay, and that is still being done today. What would you say is like the biggest thing that's very, very demoralizing that our black women that our brown women are doing?
Man, it's so much. But I think the number one thing is, you know, there was a time when we instilled a certain spirituality in our children. And, you know, when I was coming up, my mom kept me in the church. You know, we went to Sunday school. We stayed in church all day, all night. You know, everybody that you knew went to church. And I think that if you look at the vast majority of at least my friends and people that I know, not too many people I know really go to church, you know, and they definitely don't make sure that their children are in the church. So I think that our women are spiritually, we are not where we were, not even 10 years ago, 10 or 15 years ago. And I think that's the number one, that's the number one thing. Our relationship as it relates to passing the love for God or the need, not to be in the church, but a certain level of spirituality, you know, a certain level of community, like the brother was saying the other day, you know, it takes a village. And when I was younger, everybody in the neighborhood, if you didn't speak, you got hollered at or whatever. But today, you better not touch my child. And as a matter of fact, you better not say anything to my child. So that sense of spirituality and that sense of community has been lost. And I think to me, that's the greatest, that's the saddest part. Because if you know, at least Ms. Gladys would scold my child and correct my child, and then I wouldn't go down the street and want to beat up Ms. Gladys because she told my child something correct. You understand? It's just what we're experiencing today is on some whole other level.
Are there some things, like, okay, with me, I think the biggest thing that we have lost that really bothers me, Sister Jada and Sister Muhammad, is the fact that women don't have any respect for themselves anymore. I mean, to see our sisters go out in the public
with their pajamas on, and they don't have on brassieres. They got on sleeping clothes for a short sets, or they got on I mean, it's just, to me, what stands out more to me is the exposure of the brown woman in today's society and how she thinks that makes her look sexy. That's appealing to be absolutely positively almost naked. That's one of the things that stands out to
me.
Yes,
ma'am. And that's one of the number one things that has to be corrected in us and in our community first is how we dress. It's just ridiculous. We dress like whores.
That's true. That's true. I can totally agree with you. And I noticed that and where I'm at here in Gulfport, what I've noticed, like my neighborhood Walmart, I've noticed that when I look back at the mother, not only is the mother dressed like that, I've seen nowadays there are four generations of women in one family that's still alive, the great-great-grandmother, the grandmother, the mother, and then the daughter, and then in some cases, the daughter has already started having her own children. So we're looking at four and five generations of women. I've been in Walmart, and you look and you see this old lady, and she got this peacock hairstyle with all these colors, and she got on the tightest pair of pants that she can put on, or she got on the tight she can find, and I mean she's saggy. Her breast is saggy.
But can I say this, sister? You know what? We need to. There's some women like, you know, modest women who, like ourselves, come in. You know, I love the way you always have yourself covered and dressed. But I think that there needs to be more examples of women who dress modestly and make it look good and fashionable. Because I know. I mean, when you look at most Muslim women, you know, and you coming from an American perspective, like, I'm not wearing all that. I'm not getting down with that. But it doesn't have to be oppressive or like those long drab things that most of those Muslim women be wearing. But you can cover yourself in a nice suit or a nice garment, you know, have your hair covered or, you know, and look good and look classy like we used to look back in the day when the men wore suits and hats and a woman was always dressed with her pearls and her earrings and, you know, when she stepped out of the house, she looked sophisticated. You know, now it's something totally different, and I think that women who are modest have to step their game up in terms of being more fashionable so that it's attractive to the sisters who feel like it's necessary to be half-dressed because they want to be perceived as being sexy. Sexy is something that radiates from the inside out. You don't have to try to be sexy. Most of the time, you're trying to be sexy, but you're looking hoish. You know, so I think that women who dress modestly, we got to step our game up and be more of an attractive power.
Okay, so with that being said, is Sister Muhammad still online?
No, Sister Shawanda, she dropped the line. I'm trying to get my friend Roz wants to have a question, but she has not yet called in. So, Roz, if you'll text me your question, I'll announce it. I will read your question and then, you know, we can answer. Or just call in, sister, 646-668-2795. I don't know if my line is not working or we still have like 12 minutes left on the show. So if you have something that you want to say, you want to get in, please do call.
So, sister, let's talk about, you said that the modest women can be fashionable. Fashionably modest and teach other women about this because I've gotten several different opinions, different types of Muslims, and I'm going to say types of Muslims, Muslimas, being the African Muslima who comes from parts of Africa, the Arab Muslima, and also the American Muslima. And the thing I wanted to about because myself personally, I've never seen anything in the Quran tell you that you shouldn't be beautiful and keep it modestly beautiful. But in those three different entities, one group say that you don't make yourself look pretty in the face. You need to have a dry looking face. You don't need to have anything on. Then you have the other sector who says, I don't know how to modestly put my face on or something to enhance my look for my husband, and he's okay with me looking this way, and I'm going to wear it because it doesn't specifically say anything about makeup or anything, because back then we didn't have any makeup. So, again, my question is, what would you say to those, for me, I think sister-in-law women are the beautiful women that I have seen in the brown women, okay, because their head covering is made totally different, and they can exercise how beautiful that they really are because they're not completely covered where they're all looking alike. You know what I'm saying? Drabby, old lady-ish looking. But then when you do the traditional hijab, I've even gotten a lot of flack from a lot of women that says, oh, sister, you ain't supposed to wear lip gloss, and oh, sister, you ain't supposed to have that eyeshadow on. Oh, sister, you ain't supposed to do that. And I've even tried not doing that. And I'm going to tell you, it makes me feel ugly, it makes me feel old, and I'm so trying to change my
husband. You're breaking up, sis.
It makes me feel very unattractive to my husband and to myself. It makes me feel old and ugly.
Yes, ma'am. Sister, I'm sorry. Sister, I have a caller that wanted to get in. She has been trying to get in for the past 30 minutes. Welcome to the line. You have a question?
Hey, Sister Jada, I got a question for you. This is in it's not really a question. It's more of a statement. This is in reference to the state of the black woman. And my take on it is that the black woman suffers from such a low self-esteem. I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Well, I do understand. I don't follow it, but I get, you know, I know because of the media, because of rap music, because of the media, because of lack of parental involvement and structure, that the black woman, it seems like she wants to be so much like the white woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothers me as a black woman, because I didn't grow up that way. I grew up with black women that taught me, you know, you love yourself. You set the precedent. What you do shapes everything around you. You don't allow anyone to take that from you or to make you feel differently. And so I don't fall into, you know, that media thing, this Hollywood thing, this Beyonce thing. You understand? You know,
yes.
I'm a natural black woman. Natural black woman. And that it is what it is, and it ain't gonna change. And I work with children, and I try to tell them every day, love yourself. Love who you are. You don't need to go buy 3 bundles of hair to be beautiful. You are beautiful. At the beginning of the day,
wow.
Not at the end of the day, but at the beginning of the day.
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
So I just wanted to take it there and bring it back, because the state of the black woman, and it is a cycle. It's a cycle. It's a vicious cycle. And what I see on a daily basis, you know, I see grandmothers, they're not even 30. They 28, 27. And that's not,
wow.
That might sound crazy, but it's real. And this is what I work with on a daily basis. And, you know, my mission every day is to make some black child, female or male, make them realize what lies within, the essence of them. You don't need a bag of hair to make you feel good. You know, you don't need to think about going to have an operation to make, you know, to give you a big butt or to change your breast to make you feel good about yourself. You are who you are. You need to learn to love that. My parents taught me to love me. I'm not physically perfect. I know I'm intellectually on point. And that's all that matters.
you know, and I was listening to you guys, and I've been trying to say something, trying to get in, but I just couldn't. And all of a sudden, you know, at the end, now I'm able to say what I need to say. But I just wanted to say that, you know, women, the black woman, she's so damaged.
Mm-hmm.
She's so damaged because she wants to be white. I don't know why my sisters wanna be white. I can't understand it because that wasn't something that was instilled in me as a black woman. You know,
but that's that media, that's that TV.
Yeah, that's that media. Look, it's reality TV. It's reality TV. It's explicit black lyrics. It's the black man choosing the white woman. It's a whole bunch of stuff all wrapped in one. But I just wanted to say that.
Well, I appreciate
that's all
you.
I
wow,
that was beautiful.
You got in, and that was powerful, and I'm glad you made that point because I hadn't even thought of that level. You do have a lot of sisters who are moving more towards, like, they want to be white. We have
they
want to
be white.
510, you're on the line. If you have a question, you know, chop up. Hello? But yes, I mean, it's such an
deep.
Interesting.
Sister, that was deep
topic.
And beautiful.
That was, Rob. That was really, really powerful because, you know, I see it all the time with the blonde hair and, you know, like you said, they pay $500 for packs of hair and you get their hair done and, you know, eyelashes. And,
you know, every day at my job, I'm telling these kids, you know, like they graduate next weekend. And so I'm telling them, I'm like, young lady, you are beautiful. You are beautiful. You don't need any bag of hair to make you feel like you're beautiful. You are who you are. This is what God created and what God has made. That's what's up.
That is what's up.
You know, you are beautiful.
You
are beautiful.
You have to bring our people up to that level.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a vicious cycle because, you know, well, and they will take hundreds of dollars that could be spent elsewhere. They will take hundreds of dollars and spend on that bag of hair or these fake eyelashes and all of this craziness. And then instead of understanding and realizing, I'm already beautiful. I'm already beautiful.
But they may not
they
have
don't
had
know
anyone in their life
are.
To tell them that.
Yeah. I know, but they are already beautiful. They don't know that, though. So my job every day is to try and empower these women and make them realize, young women, make them see, you're already beautiful, babe. You're already beautiful. You don't need that.
So let me ask you this, because you work in that atmosphere and because you are instilling a moral that was given to you, obviously, from generation to generation and then trickle down to you. Do you think that even after you educate those young, beautiful brown women that they are beautiful, do you think that you have to consistently do that? Because when they are picked up and going home with their moms, that their moms are totally portraying a different role to them, which is very confusing.
What I'm saying,
what I'm
saying is not resonating because I spend 6.5 hours with them a day, and their parents or parents, which most of them are, they're single black females raising women. They are spending the majority of the time with them. And I don't have the time nor the venue to penetrate their minds and try and persuade them and let them know, hey, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. Your mother was beautiful. Your grandmother was beautiful. You're beautiful. Your child is beautiful. You know, I don't have enough time. It doesn't go down like that.
Well, let me,
you know, so
I hate to
me,
cut the conversation.
Right.
I hate to cut the conversation, and we have just well under 30 seconds, and I extended the show today to an hour and a half, and we're still running out of time. So, you know, I do appreciate everybody's comments, everybody's passion. You know, please tune in tomorrow. We'll just do this part two because the state of black women is so extensive that if you tune in tomorrow, we'll continue this discussion where we left off.
with the state of black women, because there's certain other areas that we still have not touched on. You just brought in that area, that aspect, which was great and deep. As always, I appreciate everybody who tuned in for today's show, Conscious Conversation. Please share, share it with everyone and tell at least 10 people so that we can build this thing and keep this dialogue going. I appreciate every last single one of you. You know, be safe and treat each other well. And tune in tomorrow for another episode of Conscious Conversation. Thank you all.
Wa alaikum salam.
Sister Shawana, thank you for calling in. Sister Roz, thank you for calling in. Sister Gadira, Brother Mike B, Brother Roosevelt, thank you all. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, sister.